I'd like to turn your attention to Hebrews, the 13th chapter. Verse number one, it says, "Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware." I remember my wife picking up a man while it was raining on her way to work. Pardon me?
Morning prayer.
I'm going home from morning prayer, going to morning prayer, and sat in her car, and I don't remember the whole story, but there's no question in her mind it was an angel. And then if you turn to Psalms 34, Psalms 34 and verse number 7, "The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear or reverence him, and delivereth them." The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth. That word delivereth is ending with an E-T-H, which means continually. He that believeth or continues to believe. Amen. Lord, we thank you for your goodness. We ask your blessing on your word. Make it alive and make us alive by it. And we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. You may be seated. I've been with Governor Walker on several occasions in several different settings, once on a pheasant hunt with him and at the bank and all kinds of places. And every time there are two athletic-looking guys always close to him. They never say anything, but they're always watching. They are the governor's bodyguards in case someone tries something funny, not a funny joke, just doing something. You see, really important people need to be protected against those who would do them harm. Really important people have to have bodyguards. People who are high-ranking, famous people, wealthy people, or really rich and famous, say, saints of God, like you and me. We are valued commodities. God puts a high price on us and high protection on us. The word encampeth in Psalms 34 and 7 means to pitch a tent for abode, or to constantly stay with, or for the purpose of a siege, meaning to surround as a blockade of a city, to stop anyone from taking the city. The picture of this scripture is God has stationed an angel next to each and every one of his redeemed people. We don't see them, they don't touch us, but we know based on scripture that there is an angel who is assigned to each and every one of us that was always there as a bodyguard. Someone asked me last Sunday, "Have you ever seen an angel?" And I can tell you, I've never seen, to my knowledge, an angel. But I can't tell you how many times there have been people after service who have told me, "There are so many angels in this building. God opened my eyes and there were so many angels, you wouldn't believe it." Sunday night, as we were praying for brother and sister Smith, there was a lady who said it sounded like thunder and then rain that was just pouring down on them. You know, there are so many supernatural experiences that happen in every one of our services, that if God would just open our eyes to the supernatural, you know, there would be no doubt in your mind, I've got to get back to that place where the supernatural is happening all of the time. But because we're seeing in the natural and not in the spiritual, sometimes we just take this as a routine or just another service, and it's not. Every service is supernatural. There is an angel that never leaves as an army that lays siege to a city, an angel that has made its abode with us, an angel that inclines towards us to protect us, strengthen us, fight for us, to deliver us from all dangers. You don't think there's an angel sitting in the car with you every time you get on the street. And because we can't see these angels ministering on our behalf doesn't mean that they are not there every minute of every day. Amen. If you'll turn to Hebrews, the first chapter. Hebrews chapter 1, verse number 13, it says, "But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool?" Question mark. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? So what God is saying is all of these angels are there as ministering spirits to those who will inherit salvation, the kingdom of God. One day we're going to be judging angels. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 5 and 18 that the angels desire to look into the things that we have afforded to us because they're greater than what they have going for them. Amen. The word minister here means that these angels are the deacons of our well-being, a servant of the Lord to watch over us constantly. And we find in Psalms 91, we have to read it. Let's go to it. I know a lot of these scriptures are familiar to you, but sometimes we just need to get a refreshing of what God is doing for us. Psalms 91 and verse number 1, it says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night," shouldn't be afraid at night, "nor for the arrows that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh to thy dwelling, for He shall give His angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because He hath set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him, and I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation." Verse 11 says, "For He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways." The word charge here means God set up according to his law, commanded his angels to keep us in all our ways. What an awesome reality, knowing that it's a matter of law. It's not a matter of preference. God commanded it, and this is what has to happen as a matter of God's command. We have an angel assigned to each of us to keep us in all of our ways. It's not that we're going to worship angels. It's not that we're going to talk to angels. But they are our guardians. They are there. They are around us. Just as these bodyguards are there, they don't interact with those who are guarding them, but they are there in the event there's going to be a problem. Now, the devil hates Scripture and seldom ever refers to Scripture, but there is one Scripture that he especially hates, and that was the 11th verse of chapter 91 of Psalms. In fact, when he was tempting Jesus in the wilderness, the devil actually quoted this Scripture because it was such an irritation to him. In Luke 4:10, it says, "For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee." Devil, that Scripture just sticks in your throat. It really bothers you that we have our own private bodyguard that is going to protect us and keep us. Who shall come against God's elect? If we were kids on the playground and the bully came around, we would say, "Na, na, 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 you can't get to me." And that's basically every saint has a big brother, as someone watching over us. And when we see angels in the Word of God, they are there to protect, they're there to comfort, they're there to strengthen, they're there to inform. And the first time the word angel is used in the Bible is, strangely enough, to minister to Hagar, the servant of Abraham's wife, and the mother of a nation that would be Israel's worst nation, worst enemy. And we find that God preserved her because she was willing to submit to the authority that was over her, even though she disagreed with that authority. Think about it. When we are willing to submit to the authority God puts over us, he then protects us. Take your Bibles and turn to Genesis, the 16th chapter. And verse number 7. "And the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way of Sur. And he said, Hagar, Sarah's maid, whence camest thou, and whither wilt thou go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress, Sarah. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, Return to thy mistress and submit thyself under her hand. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, Behold, thou art with child and shalt bear a son, and shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. And he will be a wild man, his hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him, and he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren." So here's someone who called on God, and God said, okay, I'm going to deliver you from this situation, even though down the road there may be some problems, but because you're submitting to something that you don't agree with, but still is right, the angel ministered. Then if you'll turn to the book of Daniel, chapter 3, and verse number 14. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, little g, nor worship the golden image which I have set up. Now, if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, but if ye worship not, ye shall be cast in the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hand? So it's a very familiar scripture. We even sing the song all the time. Verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1 7 times more than it was to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in the army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound to their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flames of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loosed walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire, and the princes, the governors, the captains, and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men upon whose body the fire had no power, nor was an hair of their head singed. Neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angels and delivered his servants that trust in him, and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces. And their houses shall be made into dunghills, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. A lot of scripture. Amen. Amen. But you know, I know my God can do it. Amen. But if he doesn't, it seems that the angel wasn't visible until the fire really got hot. You know, don't see any angels, but I'm still trusting in God. Amen. Hallelujah. We won't go there, but we find in Daniel 6 and 22, Daniel is thrown into the lion's den, and God sends an angel to shut the lion's mouth. because of his innocency, the Bible says. You know, I've tried to shut the mouths of a few lions, and it just doesn't work, especially if I try to defend myself. But in my innocency, God can handle the situation. Glory to God. But what I've learned over the years is that they cannot hurt me for as much as before him, innocency was found in me. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, this flesh has a hard time dealing with it, but I know I've got to keep my hands clean and my mouth shut, because if I don't, the angels don't come to shut the mouths and to protect. Amen. And then God sends his angels to shut the mouths of the empty-headed lions. Turn to 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter. I know we're using a lot of scripture. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 14. Paul's saying to the young Timothy, Alexander, the coppersmith, did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. That's a great statement. The Lord reward you according to your works. Of whom be thou aware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all of the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. So we find that God had delivered Paul out of this situation. And I believe there are so many situations that God has delivered each and every one of us out of that we don't even understand. We don't even know. We just have to do what's right, folks. There's something within us that wants to take it up ourselves and do our own battle, when God's saying, I got this. Don't worry about it. I got this. Amen. 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter. Starting in verse 32. First Samuel 17, verse 32. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with the Philistines. So everybody else was afraid of Goliath. And he said, listen, I'll go. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him, and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard, and smote him, and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defiled the armies of the living God. David said, moreover, the Lord hath delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, and he will deliver me out of the hands of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. So we find that David has already recognized that there is a power with him that defies, understanding. David penned the words in Psalm 91 through the inspiration of God and by firsthand experience. We've had firsthand experience. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Now, let me say that we think that God's angels show up when things get bad. And we expect that to happen. We are on our last leg. We are in the crosshairs of the enemy. The fire gets hot. The storm is raging. And the night is darker than it's ever been. We're more afraid of what our future is going to be. And at that point, you know, here come the angels in order to rescue us. No, no, no. The angels are always there. Always. He has been ordered by God to set up permanent residency by our side. Lay siege to the city of our soul. It's just that during these times of challenge, we become more aware of God's protection over us than when everything is going well. Take a break, angels. No, I'm sorry. I have a command from God. I can't take a break. I have to be there with you, you see. Glory to God. All right. Acts 27. Acts 27, verse 18. And we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship, and the third day we cast out with our own hands the tacking of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after a long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm on and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am, and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me, how be it we must be cast upon a certain island. Glory to God. You'll notice when the angels appeared to Paul, for there stood by me this night an angel of God, whose I am. So we belong to and are guarded by a certain angel. Amen. And information is given to us to help us with our future. Notice things were at the darkest, when neither sun nor stars nor for many days appeared. Ever feel like that? Where, boy, I need a break. Maybe Sister Cochran, I need a break. Okay. I'll send a little boy to preach the word of God to you, you know. Send angels to direct you. No small tempest lay on us. You are right in the middle of a storm. And when you don't see the light and all you feel is the danger of the storm around you, Paul said, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. It's at those times that we need the knowledge of God and what we have for protection, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Now, some of you might be saying, well, you know what? There are some things that have happened to me, and you know, if the angel was there, why would that happen to me? Well, there are some things that happen to us in order to increase our faith and become more mature in our walk with God. But nevertheless, God has his angels charge over us. God also told Paul of what he would do in the future standing before Caesar. So, you know, when God gives you something that's going to happen in the future, you don't have to worry about today, you see. The enemy of your soul would love to lay siege to you, to your city, to put fear in your heart, to take away all of your provisions, and you're never going to get healthy again. You're never going to be secure again. You're going to lose this and you're going to lose that. It's the fear that does us in, you see. You hope that you'll always be delivered, but God won't let that happen. He has already laid siege to our soul and then stations a guard at the city gate for each. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. Here's the key. Stay in the city. Stay in the place. Stay under the wings. You see? The way of the transgressor is hard. It's not the way of the saint that's hard. I wonder what happens when you get to the place where, well, I'm not going to serve God. Does God then assign the angel to somebody else? Just a couple of more scriptures. 2 Kings, the 6th chapter. Second Kings chapter 6 and verse number 8. Then the king of Syria warned against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, in such a place shall be my camp. And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down. So they set an ambush. They're going to take care of Israel. And the man of God gets the information of what's going to happen. He tells the king, and the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved himself there, not once nor twice. Therefore, the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing, and he called his servant and said unto them, will ye not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? Who's the spy in the land? Who's giving them the information? And one of his servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet that is in Israel, telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. He knows. I don't know how he knows, but he knows everything that we're doing. Do you know that God knows everything that's going to happen to us before it ever happens to us, and he diverts us, or sometimes he puts a roadblock in or the bridge is out. But if we're not listening, you know, I mean, we'll get unctions. No, I wouldn't do that. But sometimes we're so self-willed and we think we know best instead of responding to God's unction, you see. And he said, go and spy where he is that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, behold, he is in Dothan. Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host. And they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servants said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? I mean, look at the army. Look at what they have going for them. And he answered, fear not. For they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire around about Elisha. Angels everywhere, able to take care of them. And then one last scripture, if our musicians would come, Acts, the 12th chapter. I was thinking today as I was putting together this message, some years ago I preached on angels, and Brother Tom Grueling was still alive, and he wore these enormous angel wings and costume, and as I preached, he walked behind me wherever I was. You know, to demonstrate angels will always be with you. Glory to God. Acts 12 and verse number 6. And when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly. And his chains fell off his hands. And the angel said unto him, gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he saith unto him, cast thy garments about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he was in a vision. This can't be happening. This is just a dream. When they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hands of Herod and from all of the expectation of the people of the Jews. Now I know, assuredly. And now you know, assuredly. He's able. We're so fearful of so much. I guess the bottom line is for me is if you understand how important, how valuable you are, if you understood that we're greater than any personality on the face of this earth, we're richer than any wealthy individual that's on this world, we're more important to this world than any basketball, football, baseball player, any movie star. We have so much going for us, and we have been purchased with such a great price that God wants to protect each and every one of us from the least to the greatest. And he shall send his angels to take charge of us. Amen. Well, he thought he was in a trance, that it was just a dream. But you know, God is there for us every hour. It's his command to his angels. Watch them. Watch them. Amen. And I'm glad that I'm under that kind of surveillance. under that kind of protection, that I'm never, ever alone. Oh, I wish the pastor was here right now. Well, you got an angel, you know. God's overseeing. He's looking at you. Amen. He's protecting you under all situations. Could never be with my kids, could never be with my grandchildren. But I know a God that loves them even more than me.
Amen.
Amen. Stay under. Stay under. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I don't want to get out from underneath that shadow. The picture is, even on a sunny day, if there's a shadow of somebody who is really tall, you can stay under that shadow, but it'd be so easy, and it doesn't take a long distance to get out from under that shadow. So we need to stay close to God in order to be in that protection of God. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Would you stand with me, please? Amen, amen. Hallelujah. Will there be a day when we get to heaven when God says, I just want to introduce you to Gabriel. He's been watching you all this time. He also was watching Paul and Peter, and he was also watching, you know, glory to God. He's got great experience. He's a lot taller than I thought he would be. Amen. The altar's open. Would you come? Mm-hmm.